us to look at verse 17 in that chapter that we read from Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I want us to look together at this matter of faith, our faith, and living by faith. P.T. Barnum, the American circus entrepreneur, said probably of his patrons, there's a sucker born every minute. And he's right, we see that on every hand. We see it on TV and in the newspapers. It seems there's no limit to what people will believe. Listen to some of the titles that have appeared in newspapers. Cow mattresses help cows produce more milk. Mom on a diet of only chicken lays huge egg. World War II bomber found on the moon. Woman gave birth to a 2-year-old baby who walks and talks in 3 days. Adam and Eve's bones were found in Asia. Eve was a space alien. Now, people actually believe these things, and it's sad that they are taken in by such headlines as these and such stories that appear in the press. But you know that there are many people who think that we as Christians are gullible because we believe in Christian truths and in faith in God, have faith in God. We believe in miracles and we believe in an unseen God. And to them, there's no evidence. And we're gullible. But there's nothing gullible about believing the Lord. We are not in a faith, or don't have a faith in that which is unsubstantiated. As you know, the Apostles' Creed is a creed which simply sets out historical events. It speaks about God as the Creator. It speaks about Christ coming, born of the Virgin Mary, suffering under Pontius Pilate, dying, rising, ascending. And all these happened in history, in and around Israel, at a certain time. And we don't just believe fairy stories, as some would attribute to us. We believe in something that is solid and certain and sure. One of the things that we've just seen is the changing of a pound coin to a new design. And we're having to change our coin because the old coin was so easily copied that there were so many false, fake copies circulating that the government decided that we needed something more secure. So they've given us this multi-sided coin with two metals to make it secure. It's got a kind of holograph on it as well, and you look at it and you can see a pound sign and a one. And all this is designed to have to be much more difficult to copy. But as soon after it was began to be circulated, I heard that there were copies that had been made of it already. And when we get a coin, we're never quite sure whether it's the genuine article. And some would say that we're as in the dark about the gospel and about the Lord Jesus Christ himself as having coins. But we know that Jesus is genuine because he rose from the dead. And the evidence for his resurrection given to us in the Bible are more than enough to substantiate beyond reasonable doubt that Jesus rose from the dead. He is genuine. And that's how the Apostle Paul begins this letter to the Romans, in telling us that the resurrection declares him to be, with power, the Son of God. He's genuine, and our faith is founded in him, and our faith in him is genuine. May not be as strong as you would like. It may be with some questions, and we go through periods of doubting and asking ourselves, is it right, and that. But the facts that we believe are solidly founded. They're genuine. Jesus Christ is who he says he is. And he tells us a lot of things in the Gospels about himself and what he'll do. And so our faith is not in something that is a fake. It's not something in something that's uncertain. We are not gullible in what we believe. So that the Bible tells us that to believe in Jesus and to believe in what he did upon the cross brings to us life, everlasting life. It brings to us the forgiveness of sin, and it makes us right with God, where by nature we're all wrong with God, for we're unrighteousness. But in Jesus Christ, we are counted as righteous. We are counted as having the righteousness of Christ. And that's our faith. That's what the scriptures say. They stem from Abram, who was declared in his old age, you're going to have descendants, and they're going to be so great that they'll be as the stars in the heavens or as the grain of sand on the seashore or in the desert. There will be so many. And yet here he was, an old man, Sarah past the normal age of childbearing. How could it be? But Abram believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And so the Apostle Paul tells us in our verse that the just shall live by faith. And that's what I hope we all do, but it may not be necessarily so. But that's, as I said this morning, repeat again this evening, we need to make sure that we do have Christian faith, that our trust is in Jesus Christ, not in ourselves or any such thing, that we're not gullible in that sense, but that our faith is firmly in Jesus Christ. And if, as we come to the end of this day, and you think about it, you believe, come to see that you're not in Christ, it's not too late. Before this day ends, can I urge you to settle the matter with him. Put your trust in him. Depend upon him as the only grounds of your salvation. But those of us who have come to put our trust in Christ find also that we must go on doing so. We're told in Hebrews, in that letter to the Hebrews, and in chapter 11, which is the great chapter on faith, giving a catalogue of those who were faithful, those from the Old Testament who believed, but who didn't receive the promise, that is Christ. That they died before Christ came, and yet they believed in Christ. They believed in the one who would come. And they're the example to us Christians of persevering faith. But we're told in that chapter and in verse 6 that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith then is the core of our Christian living, as well as our first coming into salvation. We must go on in faith. If we've come to Christ, if we've put our trust in him, we must go on putting our trust in him. We must go on in our faith. And so Paul says that the just live by faith. It's not that we just come to life by faith. We go on living in faith for the rest of our lives here. And our faith is the key to unlock the door to certainty and to eternity. There's a story of an elderly lady who was very upset by all of her real and imaginary troubles, and out of frustration her family told her, "Grandma, we've done all we can do for you. You'll just have to trust God for the rest." And a look of despair spread over her face, and she replied, "Oh dear, has it come to that?" But you see, for the church, it's always that. It's always that our trust must be in God, and not in ourselves or anyone else. It must be in God, and that must always be the pattern and way of our life. Not when things have got so desperate there's nothing else. Our walk and our way must be in faith. We begin with faith and we end with faith. So let's have a look at this faith that Paul is speaking about in this letter of his to the Romans, where he says that he's preaching the gospel of righteousness, a righteousness from God which is revealed. He makes the point that God's work is a powerful way with the Word of God. Is in a powerful way with the Word of God. Here we have righteousness revealed to us. It's not something we've tripped up on and we've discovered for ourselves. It's been revealed to us. God has declared this in his Word. God has shown us the way and pointed to us the way in which we are to live. A lot of the passages that Paul points in which Paul points out the truth indicates that everyone who believes in this message of the gospel is saved from their sins. This shows us that Christ is the center point of our faith. When Paul writes that in the gospel there's a righteousness from God revealed, he's really speaking of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not our own righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ. Jesus Christ is the message of the gospel, and he's the center of the gospel. And it's really about his sinless life, his life of righteousness, and his death for us upon the cross, his atoning sacrifice on the cross, and then his resurrection to life as the seal of what he has done. You see, if Christ had not done these things, if he had not lived righteously, if he had one sin, his bones would still be somewhere. If he had not atoned for us on the cross and took away our sin, made it his own, died in our place upon the cross, we've no hope. There's nothing else. It all rests in Christ. And this, he is the centre of the gospel. He is the one who is the only Saviour. Now, of course, that's not politically correct to speak in those terms. All different religions will be clamouring and hammering on our door saying, you can't say that. But there is only one who has died upon the cross. There is only one who has taken our sin, the Son of God whom God sent, Jesus Christ. The only way to life everlasting, the only way to forgiveness. It's not through Muhammad. It's not through Buddha. It's not through the Hindu gods. It's not through Richard Dawkins and human endeavor. It is through Jesus Christ alone. There is no other way which we can be saved. Our faith must be in him and him alone. But God's righteousness has been revealed. It's been revealed in that there is no other than Christ, but it's also been revealed in that Christ gives to us his righteousness, and thereby we are cleansed from sin. There's an exchange taking place. We have been given the righteousness of Christ. Not our own righteousness. We don't stand before God and say, how great I am. Look at my kind of life I lead. Even as Christians, we stand and can stand before God, clothed in the robes of the righteousness of Christ. That's the only way we can stand. So Christ is righteousness, but he's also our righteousness. His righteousness is imparted to us through faith. And this, of course, is the function and purpose of the preaching of the gospel. This is why Paul emphasized in his preaching Christ and him crucified. That was the centre of his preaching, because that was the centre of our salvation. It's because Christ died that we are saved. This truth is the basis of our salvation. It's the explanation of how we are saved through faith. And we can only be saved because of what God has done for us. We can't lift ourselves up to heaven. It's impossible. However good we try to be, we fail. We've already failed and come short. Even if we should be good from now on, it's only what we should be doing anyway, and can't pay for the past. By nature, we're born into sin. And by choice, we've chosen in nature to ignore, deny, and reject God's plan of salvation. Until that day when the Holy Spirit came and opened our eyes and opened our hearts, and for the first time we saw and we believed. But we can't save ourselves by any means. But there is this good news that salvation comes through Jesus Christ. And it's free of charge to us. It's simply that we believe. And believe that Christ is our Saviour through his death upon the cross. And salvation is ours. So we may have to understand this message of the gospel and know how we're saved. But going on from there, there is faith for living. As those who have believed, then we are to go on in faith in this righteousness that comes by faith. And we lean upon it. We live by faith. The righteous live by faith, says Paul in our text. The way that the righteousness of God is given to us is only through faith. That's the good news. The bad news is if we don't have faith in this truth, then we don't have life. Righteousness of God is offered to us only if we exercise faith and believe it and go on believing it. The righteousness comes to us by faith from first to last. We have to receive the righteousness of Christ and then we have to walk in the righteousness of Christ. Many of us have had faith to receive his righteousness. And what a great blessing that is. But in biblical faith, having received his righteousness, we have to have faith to go on in it. It isn't that we are saved through Christ and then we're left to get on with it and try and live out a perfect life thereafter. If you know your own heart, you'll know you, even as a Christian, you can't do that. You still fail and come short. You still need the righteousness of Christ. One day a man had been spending hard day working, and he came into the house and he flopped himself into a large, comfortable armchair and said, "It's good to rest my whole weight on this chair." That was John Payton, who was trying to instruct the people of the South Sea Island tribe that where he was, who didn't have a word for faith, what that word meant, and to give an understanding. And when he flopped down in the chair and realized that he was resting his whole weight to the chair, he suddenly said, "That's it. I'll translate faith as resting one's whole weight on God." That's how we're to live as Christians, resting our whole weight on God. That's what faith for us as Christians is. When we believe in God, the way the Bible tells us to do, we indeed are resting our whole weight on him. By faith, we have the righteousness of Christ, and that's how we live, resting our whole weight upon him. And so it is that our lives are to be led in that way and lived in that way. The righteous will live by faith. One of the great statements of Christ. Scripture. Faith is the only way we can live. It's the only way in which we can please God. Today, people, and I suppose especially in terms of terrorist action and the kinds of things that are happening in our Western world here, people have become very fascinated about how to survive. And that should be our spiritual fascination, if you like, of our spiritual survival. How do we survive as Christians? It's by faith, and by faith alone. We continue that faith in Christ. This year is the 500th anniversary of that great reformer, Martin Luther, who brought about a spiritual revolution to the church and to Christianity. He'd been trying to earn his salvation by doing good works for God. And any one of us can relate to this story, in that Martin Luther became very frustrated because he wasn't getting on very well with it. He was a monk, and he was taught that he must do everything to atone for himself, to live before God by his own efforts and endeavours and his good work. And he wrote these words to himself. He said, "But what works? What works can come from a heart like mine? How can I stand before the holiness of my judge with works polluted in every in their very source?" Have you felt that? Have you seen that of yourself? Everything you do, even the best that you do, is corrupted and come short, and you struggle to make yourself better, and you still come short, and you still cannot reach that standard of holiness as Martin Luther was trying to do. And he was frustrated with this discouragement of how to be righteous before God. And he began to study this book of Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans. And he came across this verse, this 17th verse of the first chapter: "The righteous will live by faith." And God used it to speak to his heart. And one day Martin Luther was in a church in Rome, which was said to be a set of stairs, stone stairs, that supposedly had been the stairs that led up to Pilate's house in Jerusalem, upon which Jesus walked. And these holy stairs, it had been customary for pilgrims coming to Rome to go up on the up these stairs on their knees. And they would pause to pray at various intervals, where there were stains on the steps said to have come from the bleeding wounds of Jesus. And it was as Martin Luther was doing this that God brought these words of Scripture to Luther's mind: "The just shall live by faith." And Luther at that point saw clearly his superstition. And he realized that he could never save himself. However hard he tried, he could never attain the righteousness of Christ on his own. And that he could only be saved entirely by Christ. That he received by faith. But he came down those stairs a new man. And of course it led under him and from God to the great reformation of the church of the 16th century. Luther's eyes were open to live by faith. We cannot attain the righteousness of God ourselves. We are to live by faith in the righteousness of Christ. If we are to enter and continue in a right relationship with God, faith must be exercised every day. Whether you're a young Christian or you're a mature Christian, and you've been a Christian for many, many years, it's still the same. Each day we live by faith and we continue in that faith, and that our righteousness before God, our standing before God, is the same as it was on the first day we believed in Jesus Christ. It's from faith to faith, says Paul. By faith, from first to last. Faith to faith, to faith to faith. And so, each day, living by faith. Faith is to be the way of life for us. Faith is to be the principle of our lives as believers. The Bible calls us to trust in Christ all the time. Do you believe? Do you truly believe and trust Christ? Have you experienced in the Spirit that Christ is your Saviour? Does your heart call out to him in childlike trust? Will you cast yourself upon him today and every day? Is he the only hope of your salvation? Or are you trusting to yourself? Or trying to, but finding yourself to fail? Christ will never fail you. But you have to trust him. May God grant to us all that we may trust in him who is our righteousness day by day until that day when we end and leave this earthly scene, and then we see him face to face. Let us pray.